All right. Here we are. If you're just joining us, we've been going through a series on prayer. And early in this year, we are talking about the Lord's Prayer. We broke that down to kind of figure out what is Jesus teaching us about prayer? How does he teach us? What does he say? What do we do? And when we look at fasting, I think as a fit conclusion to this series on prayer. Because I think fasting is such an important discipline that is greatly feared. Right? It's regularly ignored and highly misunderstood. I think fasting, when it comes to fasting, we have a lot of history with fasting, right? On the surface, we might fear it because, and I'll be the first to admit this, all right? I'm not up here because I have it all day. I'll be the first to admit this. But I hate being hungry. Hunger is uncomfortable. No one likes it. You know, when I get hungry, I get angry, right? One of my favorite chocolate bars is called Snickers, and, you know, they're slow. In my teens, as I used to travel quite a bit, I went to Argentina. And sorry, vegetarians, but they have an overpopulation of cows. And the meat, the steak there is out of this world. I still dream about it, right? I remember the first time, the knife just melts through. It's like, and I put it in my mouth, and it was an experience, right? I was blown away. And I loved this so much. But Jesus is saying union with me, knowing me, having a relationship with me is greater than any satisfaction you can receive here on this earth. That's what he's saying. You know, I've done, since becoming a Christian, when I was 19, I've done a couple of five-day fasts. And I don't say that to boast, but just as a point of example. By day three, I start dreaming about food, right? And I remember the first time I fasted, when I hit day three, I dreamt about a snack that I haven't eaten in years. And it was these Dorito nacho cheese Doritos, right? I haven't had those for years. But I'm fasting, I dream about it, I wake up, and I can taste it in my mouth, and I just go, oh my goodness, like, that's, you know, but in that moment, when my hunger takes over, when the cravings are just so heavy, it points me to the place where I have to remind myself, no, what I'm doing here has a purpose, and I'm not just suffering for no reason, but that it's reminding me to go to the Lord in prayer, to open his word, and to seek for him. And I'll tell you that once I went to do that, I was satisfied. I was renewed. I was refreshed. The hunger, the headaches, the craving all went away. And if only for a few minutes, then when it came back to it. Do we ever desire something? Do we ever desire to pray for something more than having a meal? Do we have that same fervor, that same desire as we do when we are famished to eat a meal than when we go to the Father with our prayers? Maybe we've deprived our spirits of nourishment so much so that we are starving. Perhaps even spiritually dying because we aren't nourishing our spirits as we nourish our physical bodies. Fasting is spiritual nourishment. Secondly, fasting realigns us. It takes the focus from us and puts it to God. We talked about this in the Lord's Prayer as well, right? when you pray in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus doesn't teach us, go straight to the petitions and say, God, I need this, this, and this, and this. No, he says, go to the Father first. Recognize who he is and what he has done for you. And as you go down and think and meditate on who he is and what he has done and what he is going to do, it transforms and shapes us so that the petitions that we have, although they might be the same, the motivation for that prayer is different. The source of that prayer is different. And again, let's be real with ourselves. We all like to be noticed for the things that we do. We like the praise. We like the approval. And we want to be where God sits. And so when we do things like fasting, this is what Jesus is calling out in chapter 6. Here in this passage, these hypocrites are doing the same exact thing as they were doing and what he was calling out before he taught on the Lord's Prayer. And we see this, that what they're doing in public does not match what's going on in private. We see here again Jesus using the phrase, they have received their reward in full. Right? When these people are disfiguring their faces, when they're hunching over, when they're when they're putting on the act, they're receiving their praise. They're getting what they want, approval from people. But the sad and ironic thing is that they don't realize that that approval, that gratification that they feel is short-lived. It doesn't last. It goes away. It's temporary. And what Jesus is calling out here again is the fact that what we do on the outside doesn't match what goes on in the inside. On the outside, they might seem alive, but on the inside, they are dead. On the outside, their prayers might look very powerful and elegant and beautiful, and they have it all together. But their private prayer lives are dull, boring. When we focus on God, we crucify our flesh. We are denying ourselves. Just like with the Lord's Prayer, when we fast to seek God and earnestly pray, it changes us. It realigns us to be God-centered in our thinking so that when things come up, that we can prune them. When the darkness of our hearts or the sins that we are caught up in or the dangerous habits we find ourselves in creep up, we can prune them. We can put them to death. Because these are the things that are being revealed that are stopping us from knowing this satisfaction, this joy and this hope that can be found in knowing God. We deny ourselves. This is what the warning is, that if we are fasting and we are still holding on to the ways of the flesh, don't fast. Just eat. If you're not doing it for the right reasons, if you still think that, oh, when I fast, that God will hear me more or he'll be more inclined to answer my request, that's not it. Now, I'm not saying don't go to him with these requests. I'm not saying don't go to him in your fast with these requests. But if it's simply to get something from God, that's not it. Isaiah 58 lays out what God looks for in a fast. Isaiah 58 says, shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voices like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager to God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists.
You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high? Is this the kind of fast I have chosen, only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on a sackcloth of ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? It is not. Is not this the kind of fast I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide with the poor wanderer with shelter? And when you see the naked, to clothe them and to not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." And the chapter continues. But what he's saying is, if you're not being transformed midway, and if you're doing this fast and yet you're letting your anger get the best of you and you start being critical or hurtful towards other people, you're not getting it. That's not the point. Because through the fast, it ought to transform us again to be God-centered, so that we start to turn our ways and lean in on the wisdom of God. Why fast if you're still going to mistreat and abuse people, to take advantage of them, to be selfish with your resources? Why fast if you aren't going to turn away from the things that you have placed on the thrones of your heart and worship as idols and expect God to come through? Why fast if you are deliberately going to keep on sinning? Keep on doing this thing that is destroying you? No. The purpose of the fast is to realign us with God, so that how we act, how we treat other people, how we live our lives in obedience, it's only to him. Today is Palm Sunday, and we think about the day when Christ enters into Jerusalem, and they're singing songs, and they're laying down their coats and the palm trees, and they're shouting, "Hosanna, save us," right? But this is the same thing. I'm trying to do some gymnastics here, but we're doing the same thing. When we fast and we go, "God, look at what I'm doing." When I fast and I expect God to do something, that's the very same thing that the Jews were doing when Jesus was entering in. Rather than actually proclaiming him as king, they said, "Oh, this is the king that's going to work for me. This is the king that's going to save us and deliver us from Rome in power and with a sword in the wisdom of the world." Yet, when Jesus shows that that's not what he's doing, that his ways are greater than our ways, what do? They flip. They flip. And again, in the same way, as we pray and we go to God and we go, "God, it's not about what I get from you. It's about getting you. It's about having this relationship with you." And through that, I can view, through the lens of that understanding, that I could view my prayer requests to you. The things I'm going to you for can be transformed in a way that even if I don't get my way, I say, "You are king. You are sovereign. You are above me. You are greater than I am. So I'm going to rest in that." It's about realigning us. It's about realigning us. We see this with David, King David. After his great sin of committing adultery with Bathsheba, murdering Uriah, her husband, God uses Nathan to call him out, but he also gives him a judgment about what his family life will be like. And we know through that judgment, we know that it's said that he will lose his son. But while his son is sick, he still goes to the Lord in prayer, and he fasts, and he tears his clothes, and he puts on sackcloth and covers himself with ashes, praying and going to the Lord, yes, to save his son. But I also think that David there is realigning his mindset to say, this is what my life, my wisdom does. It destroys and it kills. But let me realign myself with you so that what I can do in the future might glorify you. Let me realign my life to the way that you would want me to live. Not me trying to cram God into my box and make God serve me because of the things that I do. This is what fasting does. It realigns us, refocuses us, reshapes us. Lastly, fasting is rewarding. It is rewarding, but not in the way that you think. Again, if you're not realigned and you're thinking self-centered, you're not going to get the reward. Because the reward here when we fast, again, is not a guarantee that we'll get what we pray for. No, our reward is a deeper love for Christ. Because when we fast, we are saying, we love you, we need you, we trust you. And that will find more satisfaction than food. But again, we got to look at it through that God-centered lens. Because then that is the greatest reward. Our reward is growing in maturity as we are being transformed through knowing God and trusting in his sovereignty. When we fast and we go before him, we bend our knees. And we go before the king saying, I don't know, but you do, and I can trust in that. Even though your ways don't align with how I would do things, or maybe how I define good, or what I want, if God says no, then through our time of fasting, even though we've suffered, even though we've endured through it, we can walk away as David did and just go, okay, that's the Lord's will. And our reward is certain as we wait for Christ's return, where we will feast with him. I don't have enough time. I didn't have enough time to cover this part, but there's a feast coming. And when we fast now, Jesus says this when the Pharisees question him about fasting. And they say, oh, all of our disciples are fasting. Why aren't your disciples fasting? And what does he say? He shares a story with them or a parable where he says, well, if the bridegroom is here, why would they fast? No, it's only when the bridegroom is gone that they fast. But when he returns, there will be a feast. And so right now, as we fast, it is necessary for us. It is necessary for us to know and to do this and to discipline ourselves in this way. Because it points us to the feast that's coming. Knowing that, if we can just for now deny ourselves and and look to Christ and be in relationship with him, that is the greatest reward. That is what we look forward to. Now, let's talk about practicality, okay? Fasting. I'm sure a lot of us are thinking and it's going through, well, I have health issues. I need to eat. I need to do these. I get that. So first, we don't want anyone hurting themselves when they fast, okay? If it's dangerous for you to fast, I would recommend, talk to a GP, talk to your doctors, talk to someone who might be able to give you advice on how you can fast in a healthy and safe way. But also, you don't have to, there are many ways to fast, right? Yes, thank you. There are many ways to fast. It doesn't have to be food. It can be other things. Again, like the definition I gave, it's things that are in itself good, but things that we're saying, no, I'd rather have Jesus more than that. So just rest in that, okay? Hopefully no one's walking away going like, oh, how dare he? It's okay. It's a discipline. It's something that we should want to do. But I think if we want to do it, we will find a way to do it in a way that works for us And so I leave that with you. Secondly, remembering that fasting is not about suffering through your hunger. Your hunger serves you. It's your motivator in this time that when your stomach growls or your head starts to ache or the cravings come in or whatever it is, your thought goes, oh, I'm hungry. And that's your body's reaction. And you're a reminder to go, oh, let me go pray for this. Let me go pray for my children. Let me go pray for my spouse. Let me go pray for my church. Let me go and pray for the things that are going around the world. Fasting intensifies our prayers. And it builds the consistency and the amount that we do it. So fasting. Fasting. With that, let me close our time in prayer, and I'll have the worship team come back up.